Okay. We're going to sing at Calvary. Who knows this one? I know y'all know this one. Here we go.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty.
Song. You're a burdened soul this morning. Take it to the cross. Go to the Lord, and He can give you peace. I love this song. It's my wife's favorite hymn. I always say that every time we sing it, so I'll never forget.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme. And His love. I love to tell the story, for wonderful it seems that all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me. The reason I tell it now to thee, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Last verse, I love to tell the story. For those who know it best seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it sees the glory His love.
I told Deanna, I said, man, this is awesome. We need to do this every year. But I want it to be Appreciation Sunday, so it's just not focused on me. My family knows that, hey, don't embarrass me when it comes to anything where I'm the focal point, and yet I get up every Sunday as the focal point. So it's not like that I can't handle it, but I don't like to have a big fuss made. But I tell you, I was I trusted Kyle that he would not put me on the spot, and I appreciate him and all of you who worked to make this a special time. Thank y'all, and I appreciate that. I want to share just one verse of Scripture because, well, I got about one verse worth of time left. And I think it's a verse that matches the occasion pretty well. And it's Hebrews chapter 10. And Brother Rick would be glad to know I didn't write down the Greek words here. I thought about it. I did study them, though, I'll be honest with you, because I was very curious as to exactly what these words were. And so, but it's a great verse of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's not verse 25, surprisingly, which says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together," but verse 24 is the verse I want to spend just a minute thinking about. And it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." One of the best things that's happened to me recently in my ministry was when I wasn't preaching, but had the opportunity to go a couple weeks ago and visit with some friends. It was just very refreshing to see church from a different perspective. I got to see my good friend who's a pastor and his church and the dynamic that they have. And really appreciate this church having many of those same type of love relationships. My good buddy Rusty, he sings better than I do, but he really shouldn't either. But you know what? He is a little more talented than I am on that end. He can play the drums very, very well, and plays the guitar and sings to the Lord. And it was funny because he was, I don't know what he was doing, but he was singing some sort of song right before Sunday school, and one of his church members just walked by me and whispered to me, and she said, "Thank God he can preach." And I thought, yeah, that's what people probably say about me if they heard me sing, for sure. This verse says to consider one another, and I appreciate y'all's consideration today. You've always been very gracious to us, and it's like this pastor's appreciation thing. I know it's a chore for a church to, you know, to think about what can we do, what should we do. Y'all have done so much through the years, and more than you should. You know, we don't expect anything elaborate or fancy, and but you've done some neat stuff. We went and stayed at a ranch in Bandera 1 year from a gift from the church for this occasion. We went to out to Artesian Lakes 1 year. That was wonderful. I'd really go there than Bandera. That really nice place out there. You know, I'm sure there are other things through the years, but those are the two that just really stick out to me. And Susan's not here with us, but Susan was kind of the one in the early years who was always kind of assigned the duty of making sure all that kind of little stuff got taken care of. And then Greg and Linda, she bought me a bunch of ties and stuff like that 1 year as well. And so, you know, God's just been so gracious to us. And this is special. This is a different thing altogether. So it says to consider one another. I appreciate you considering me in the role of being your pastor. This term, consider, is an interesting term. It means to actively think about how to accomplish the goal. Consider one another. It means to be deliberate in how that you think about somebody else and what you want a certain outcome to be. I want you to put that into perspective in other relationships besides just the, you know, your pastor. Think about other Christians. Think about your loved ones. And think about how important it is that you focus your attention on them and that you invest in them. A long time ago, God blessed me with that thought that everything that I do as a pastor is an investment in people. And I learned that it is important that I invest in everyone, but that I especially invest in the leaders and in the people who really shape and form this church into what it is. It's really a challenge sometimes to have your finger on the pulse of everybody and every family and everything that's going on in those families. And I would be the first one to be honest with myself and with my good points and bad points. And one of my shortcomings is certainly in being aware and keeping up with everybody and contacting everybody that I need to at the right time when everything is going on. I know that I want to and that I should. And I tell you what God has done for me in this church is that He's always had people who were willing to do a lot of that for me. I've always had somebody in this church who is willing to contact everybody throughout the week and then get back with me and say, "Hey, brother, you need to check on so-and-so and so-and-so." Miss Lee did that for years. Miss Zelma did some of that for me as well. DJ, who's not with us, has done that for me in the past also. And I've appreciated that. And I appreciate you whenever you help me actively think about other people. What is the goal whenever we consider a pastor? Y'all spoke about some of those things that you appreciated and that you want. And so what you should hope, I think, out of a pastor, another verse that came to my mind is where the scripture says that I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And I think it's very important that churches are taught the truth and all of the truth. It's so easy to shy away from the controversial parts of the Bible and the controversial issues of our day and to just, you know, stick to the warm, fuzzy stuff. I love the warm, fuzzy stuff. That's what today is about. But we also have to declare the whole counsel of God. We have to face the world in which we live. So consider one another and think about, what are you trying to go? What is your goal? What is your investment? What are you hoping to see a return in? We're investing in each other's spiritual welfare is what we're doing. This verse means to be actively thinking about and in touch with one another's spiritual well-being. Consider each other. Consider one another, it says. And then it says to provoke. To provoke. What's interesting about this word is how that it's used, and then you juxtapose it against another verse of Scripture, or you compare it against another verse of Scripture that talks about it in the same way, but in the opposite manner. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love, and it says that love is not easily provoked, right? And here, it's saying that we ought to provoke one another to love. And so, I don't know if you know, the writer of Hebrews here is trying to play on those words of 1 Corinthians or not, but I think it's very interesting. Because it really is one of the rare instances that this word is used in the positive sense. Usually the term provoke is exactly what you imagine when you hear somebody provoked you. You know, they triggered you. They irritated you or set you off to a point of anger. That's typically what the word provoke means. But here is provoke in a good sense. It's a good sense. It's not like going to that beehive and shaking it. You know, that provoke it for sure. That's stirring it up. But this is stirring up toward good stuff, not toward bad stuff. Provoke means to stir up in a good sense. It means to stimulate. This has been very stimulating for me this morning. It means to cultivate. It means to encourage. So the Bible tells us to consider one another, and then it says for us to provoke as well. To provoke, stimulate, and to stir up each other. Well, what is the goal? Let's look at the last part of that verse. What are we considering for? What are we provoking to? And it tells us that we are to provoke unto love and to good works. To love and to good works. The conclusion of the matter in Ecclesiastes was to love God and to keep His commandments. Isn't that almost exactly what is being said here? Love and good works. We ought to provoke each other to love and good works. Agape love is the term that is used here. It's purest love. It's undefiled love. It's love that only God can actually express in the fullest sense. And the way in which that love is shown is through good works. We should celebrate good works. We don't do it for good works. It's not normal. Well, as I was sitting there and this was going on, I was thinking to myself, this is not normal. You know, church is not supposed to be about celebrating a man. It's supposed to be about celebrating Jesus. But then I thought, be humble. You're their pastor. People should be excited about their church. They should be excited about their pastor. It's okay. What they're doing is godly. What they're doing is encouraging. It's edifying. It's not harmful. It's helpful. It's helpful to know that there's a church that's full of love and appreciation toward the pastor and pastor toward the people. That's how it should be. Brother Pete taught us the three L's. And he said that the pastor should lead, the people should labor, and that the church should love. That was his three L's that he taught us one time. We should provoke one another toward love and to good works. My final thought is this. I don't know if it's profound or not, but I put a couple exclamation points by it when I wrote it down because I thought it was impressive. How do we do this? How do we provoke people to love and to good works? We do this by doing this. We provoke to love and good works by love and good works. Iron sharpens iron, the Scripture says. Whenever we're faithful, it leads other people to be faithful. Whenever we're encouraging, it causes other people to be encouragers. Whenever we love, we get love in return. When people see your good works, they're going to glorify God and thank God for those good works and hopefully be spurred toward good works as well. I want to thank you as a church for investing in me, in my ministry, and in my family. I want to thank you for investing in our church, being faithful to come and to give and to participate. I want to thank you for investing in each other. We have a loving church that cares about its membership and one another. Thank you for being the bride of Christ that He loved so much that He gave His life for and promised to come back one day and to receive. We're going to stand together at this time and sing a verse of invitation. You stand as we sing.